it's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Right. Hello, America. Hello. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned into the Second Amendment Radio Show. We just squeaked that down to 2A Radio. The website is 2aradio.com. This is the show for July 17th, 2011. This will be my last and final broadcast on Liberty News Radio Network. Now, LNR has been going through a few different changes, and one of the effects of that, to really shorten the story down, is that 2A Radio no longer has a place on Liberty News Radio Network. And I learned of this about 3 weeks ago. And I have had an opportunity to seek out other networks to put 2A Radio on. In fact, there have been a couple of offers to 2A Radio to go to some other networks. Go back to a regular weekday show rather than a weekend show. In fact, that was my decision to go back to just shorten it down to a single two-hour weekend show. What I've decided to do is none of the above. I actually have another couple of weeks on Liberty News Radio through the 31st as of the all of the changes at the network happened August 1st. So I actually have a couple more slots coming up, which I am electing to not do. Here's the deal. There have been a tremendous amount of changes in the life of yours truly in, gosh, probably about the last 7 months. A lot of change since about the first of the year. With that being said, my focus and drive has changed direction actually a couple of times in those last few months. And unfortunately, I've been spread so thin, and I made this announcement, you know, months ago, that I have been spread so thin that I really need to concentrate on a couple of other things and stop being, quite honestly, the friend that everybody wants to have. I try to be the best kind of friend that a friend could want to have. Somebody calls him, hey, can you give me a hand with this? Can you help me with the other? Blah, da, 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 da. Unfortunately, I'm still doing a little bit too much of that. So with that being said, I need to knuckle down and essentially nearly eliminate all the distractions to get a few things accomplished over the next few months before I can open things back up and start getting back into some of the things that I'm doing now. With that being said, I have elected that this will be my last radio show on Liberty News Radio Network. In fact, it'll be my last regularly scheduled broadcast radio show until further notice. However, I'm not entirely going away, and I'm not just giving up radio. I will tell you this. On the occasion where something needs to come up, every week, 2 weeks, whatever it's going to be, where I need to sit down and do a radio show, probably be about a one-hour show, I'm going to sit and I'm going to cut that show, and I'm going to post it at 2aradio.com. The way to find out real-time when it's there is very simple. Go on to your Facebook account, type in 2A Radio, and like the Bill Carnes 2A Radio fan page. Anytime I cut and post a show to 2aradio.com, which is quite honestly where many people listen to the show, once that's up, I will post it immediately on the 2A Radio Bill Carnes fan page on Facebook. So as soon as you get that little email notification, you can go right to the website and listen to the show. So that's the way it's going to work until further notice. And I don't know when that notice is going to be. Again, there are several things, business and getting back on my feet and going forward and some shooting and class-related things that I have got to get done. Absolutely must get done. And that's what I'm going to start focusing on. intensively focusing on, because the partial focus just doesn't work. And in this economy, you need to triple and even quadruple your efforts to get anything done that you could have done easily 3 or 4 years ago. So that's where my focus will be. I will not be doing that much radio. I will be occasionally filling in for Dave Champion on the Dave Champion Show. As a matter of fact, later this week, I may be filling in on a show for Dave, possibly even a couple of them. So you can still go to the Dave Champion Show and hear me on occasion. You can also always hit me up on that Facebook fan page, and I will be happy to respond and converse with you, whatever it is. Or you can always just send me an email, bill@2aradio.com. bill@2aradio.com is a great way to get a hold of me. It actually goes to my PDA. If I have the opportunity to go ahead and shoot you a quick response back then and there, I can usually do it without too much delay. Otherwise, if I'm a bit busy, when I get to my email schedule to respond, I'll get it done. Again, I'm trying to get all of this really time management thing back under control, because over the last couple, 2.5 years, I've really just allowed my time management to kind of feed off, wait off to the side, and I've been completely reactionary, and no longer. I cannot afford it. I cannot afford it in my profession. I cannot afford it in actual finances and life. I cannot afford it as a friend, as a father, as a boyfriend to my longtime girlfriend. I just cannot afford it to not have proper time management and get things focused in and get it done. So, again, this is my last Liberty News Radio Network broadcast. I will not be here next week or the following week, which are the last couple of weeks that Liberty will have its current format before it changes formats and focuses quite intensively on the Sam Bushman show. Sam Bushman, the proprietor and the drive behind Liberty News Radio. I have to thank Sam for the opportunity here on Liberty. For some time, I was actually on 3 simultaneous networks, and Sam brought to me the opportunity to be on Liberty and another network simultaneously, along with the original network I was on. I have since left the original network and also the third network, just been on Liberty for the last few months. But again, all of that is starting to really wind down just a bit when I get some other things happening. I am being asked to schedule all kinds of different courses here and there. With the economy being rough, I've got to do some business research to find out if these are the right things to do. There's some half-hearted offers out there. I've really got to try to qualify, things like that. So, with all of that said, that is the status and future of 2A Radio. Again, right now, during this break, log on to your Facebook account, type into the search 2A space radio, click on it, click like, and then you'll get all of the updates. So, that's the way to keep up with me and 2A Radio. So, stay tuned. We're going to get into this show right after the break. Once again, I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. Okay. We have had 48 of the 50, not 57, Obama, 50 states that have had some provision for being able to carry concealed within that state, where they do not subvert your rights. Now, the states look at it as some sort of permission slip that we're going to allow you to carry a gun. Well, that's the wrong sort of thinking, and those sorts of politicians are the ones who need to be ousted each and every election cycle. It's a right. Well, 2 states have subverted those rights, Wisconsin and Illinois. Well, now we're down to where it's just lowly Illinois. Because Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin signed a bill into law about, let's see, it was about 8 or 9 days ago on July 8th. It was Senate Bill 93, which is the concealed carry legislation, to where now Wisconsin joins the other 48 states to where there's at least some provision for carrying concealed. Now, keep in mind, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to carry concealed in any of those states, such as Hawaii. You'll never get a concealed weapons permit out of Hawaii if you live there. You just won't. Not unless you're a retired judge or some sort of high-end state official. Which is the sort of thing where lawsuits need to happen to get these things broken up. It was called the Personal Protection Act in Wisconsin. It includes the licensing process, the criminal background check process, the firearm safety training with, of course, certain exemptions for members of military and retired law enforcement personnel and citizens who have already completed a hunter safety course for anybody who wants to apply for these concealed weapons permits. Carrying a gun without a permit will be a misdemeanor. No big deal. The bill passed with the bipartisan support of both the Senate in a 25-8 vote and the Assembly, a 68-27 vote. So it's actually a veto-proof vote. In the Senate, 6 Democrats voted in favor. And in the Assembly on, June 28th. And, 11 Democrats and 1 Independent joined 56 Republicans to pass it in the State Assembly. The bill has passed the state legislature previously in 2003 and in 2005, but was vetoed from becoming law by Walker's predecessor, Governor Jim Doyle. I've always enjoyed that name, Doyle. Jim Doyle. Well, here's some comments. Our founding fathers understood the importance of checks and balances, said Representative Roger Rivard out of Rice Lake, Wisconsin. He says, is that right? Wisconsin? Yes. That is why they placed the right to keep and bear arms as the Second Amendment as a check against the tendency of governments to overreach. The Personal Protection Act did not allow individuals to exercise their Second Amendment rights, but it will enable them to protect themselves and those they love from danger. So this guy gets it. Roger Rivard gets it. He says the Personal Protection Act, my mistake. I missed a word. He doesn't quite get it. He says it not only allows individuals to exercise their Second Amendment rights, but will enable them to protect themselves. Allow them to protect, to exercise their rights. Here's the deal. The government's not in the business of allowing anybody to exercise a right. The government's in the business of supposed to be protecting those rights. You don't protect those rights by passing legislation. The rights are there. Legislation would be passed against a right, and it would be null and void because it's a right. In this country, the strongest thing there is a God-given right. The Constitution of the United States lists a few of them. Basically, the Bill of Rights is merely a top 10 list. If you read through the Federalist Papers, and even some Supreme Court decisions, they say you cannot enumerate all of the rights. As in, okay, right number one, right number two. That's enumerating a right. They are far too vast and many. The Bill of Rights is merely a top 10 list. Well, this government, I should say governments across the country, from towns up to federal, have been passing, ordinances and laws and all kinds of things to subvert different forms of our rights almost since the Constitution was passed and the first Congress under that Constitution convened. It says very clearly in Section 1, Article 8 of the Constitution of the United States what the duties and the responsibilities of the federal legislative branch are. It's very clear. Here they are. They're to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Well, we really let that one go afoul. to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states, and with the Indian tribes. Let's see, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. To coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. To establish post offices and post roads. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing or limited times to authors and inventors and exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries. To conclude tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. To define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. To raise and support armies, but not appropriations of money to that use, shall be longer for a longer term of 2 years. To provide and maintain a navy. To make rules for the government and regulation of the land of naval forces. To provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. Suppress insurrections and repeal invasions. To provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointments of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. To exercise executive legislation in the case in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding 10 square miles, as may, by session, of particular states, and the acceptance of Congress becoming the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise likely blah, 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 basically Washington, D.C. To make all laws which shall be necessary and proper to carry into execution the foregoing powers, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. They do not have the authority. That's it. That's Section 1, or Article 1, Section 8. They do not have the authority to do anything with our rights. They're given to us by God. God, the higher power. The government didn't create the Constitution. Men of free will created the Constitution. The Constitution, once ratified, created the government. The power in this country is vested within the people. All governmental authority is derived by the people. It's like going through a PFC's chain of command. Probably got a corporal, a sergeant, sergeant major, a lieutenant, a captain, a major, a colonel, a general, the Joint Chiefs, and then the President. And they get their power up the chain of command all the way to we the people. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio are back.
Welcome back. And again, we're talking about the main topic here is the new concealed carry law, which has been passed and signed into law in Wisconsin. Let's see, Representative Roger Rivard continues by saying, this bill is a compromise between those who would want constitutional carry and those who do not believe this is a right guaranteed by the Constitution. There have been over 16 years of debate on the issue, and I'm proud of my colleagues who hammered out this deal. They have built protections into the law which help keep everybody safe. I'm confident that law-abiding citizens of our state will act responsibly with the freedom that has been restored to them. Now, let me address that comment. Compromise between those who want constitutional carry and those who do not believe it's a right guaranteed by the Constitution. It's not up to everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry to decide, oh, is it right, is it not all right? Quite honestly,
It's up to the Supreme Court to decide. And if we believe that the Supreme Court acts improperly, it is our job as we the people, the ones who are in charge of this entire country, we can change the Constitution. We can force the rules to get changed. We can elect the proper people, get all of the rules changed with direction. Now, of course, all that takes time. But we have the authority vested in us to ensure that things are done right. Now, if we decide the Constitution, we don't care for the Constitution the way it's written anymore. It's old, it's outdated, we don't like it. Well, we have the authority to get it changed. Either make it much more conservative, in my opinion, the way it should be, or much more liberal. And remove provisions about being able to defend yourself. God-given right. Yeah, we changed our mind. We don't believe God gives you that right anymore. We're not going to read the Bible to see. We're just going to decide that on our own. Okay. Well, we have the authority to do that, as knuckleheaded as some people in this country are. So what Representative Roger Rivard is telling us is that this is a compromise. Well, compromise is better than nothing. At least if you're, okay, you know what, I realize it's your birthday. You want a Red Ryder BB gun. I'm not going to give you that, but here's a squirt gun. Your mom didn't want to get you any gun at all. I want to get you the Red Ryder. We compromise on the squirt gun. Okay, well, it's a start. It is a start. Use the squirt gun responsibly. You know, down the road, you can show, look, everything's responsible here. Give me the BB gun. We've matured. Unfortunately, this is a compromise we have to do in this day and age, and it sucks, and I don't believe it's the right thing to do. However, once we're given the opportunity, we need to seize it, take it, make it ours. Under the new law that will go into effect in November, permit holders who have passed a background check and mandatory training could keep loaded, uncased guns in their vehicles. Currently, only unloaded, encased guns are allowed. Permit holders would be allowed to carry guns in most public buildings, except where posted. Weapons are still banned in courthouses, beyond airport security, within 1,000 feet of school properties, jails, prisons, and police stations. Of course, except for police officers. Now, I have to pick a bone with this 1,000 feet of school property. That's a little under a quarter mile. Many people live within 1,000 feet of a school. And you're trying to tell me they're not allowed to have a gun in their house or in their vehicle? Did they even park outside on the street or in their driveway? Is that a technical violation? Well, Barron County Sheriff, Wisconsin, Chris Fitzgerald, spoke at the Rice Lake Men's Club at their regular meeting this last, a couple of Tuesdays ago on July 5th. And afterwards mentioned the concealed carry passage, that it was a topic of conversation. He says, as a law enforcement officer, not a peace officer, not a police officer, as a law enforcement officer, obviously you don't want everybody carrying guns, he says, while noting that other states have not experienced increased violent rates. He says, you should look at Minnesota. It seems to have worked over there. Fitzgerald said that while there are plenty of people who, quote, think they might want to do it, the practical requirements of carrying concealed weapons, getting the training, completing the paperwork, not mixing social activities while drinking, while out if carrying a weapon, might make interest in it a fad. For those people who are committed enough to follow through and get trained, it will be okay. Okay, now this is coming from the sheriff of Barron County, Chris Fitzgerald. The very guy who he and every member of his sheriff's department, every deputy he's got, is under no legal authority whatsoever, legal responsibility, I should say, to have to provide protection to any individual citizen anywhere in that county. But yet, obviously, he doesn't think it's a good idea everybody be armed. Okay. Well, locally, in, Rice Lake, it's expected, the Wisconsin Training Center is expected to offer training classes necessary under the new law. Acceptable training includes courses offered by the DNR, whatever that is, the law enforcement agencies and organizations that certify firearms instructors. Let's see. Permit holders must be 21 years of age or older with no history of criminal felonies. The permits would cost no more than $50 and be good for 5 years with a $25 renewal. Something tells me my home state of Nevada, which has very similar laws, is going to offer reciprocity with Wisconsin. Now, Barron Police Chief Byron Miller is cautiously optimistic that the law's implementation coming in November will go smoothly. He says, "The only concern I have is that people carrying concealed guns will have the proper qualifications." Well, they're American citizens. That's all the qualification you need. Read the Constitution. Mark Peterson, he says, "No comment until I see the final version of the bill that was signed into law." He is the Chittick police chief. He continues by saying, "I'll say this in general opinion. I am against arming untrained citizens. The training is a big part of it." Okay, well, your cops are far less trained than what they should be. They have guns. Let's see. Rice Lake Police Chief John Summerfield said that he endorses the law's provisions that require permits, training, and background checks. Quote, "Because you don't want unstable people or people with a criminal history to carry firearms." He's hoping passage of the much-debated bill, quote, "will all turn out to be a bit anticlimactic." And I think he's right on par with that last statement. "To each their own is my personal opinion, but I don't see the benefits," he says, stating that he carries his firearm off-duty, but, to be prepared should an emergency situation arise. Okay, good. That's why I carry a gun, too. That's why just about everybody who carries a gun carries a gun. "When pulling over vehicles for traffic stops, officers are presently trained to assume every person is armed and be prepared to act accordingly." It's a real problem. Summerfield said, noting that this new law will create heightened awareness that guns can now legally be carried unloaded and uncased inside SUVs, cars, or trucks. Well, they've always been unloaded. I think they mean loaded. Sheriff Fitzpatrick said that in Arizona, when an officer pulls a driver over, the officer is trained to ask if weapons are present. "Do you have a gun? Where is it?" might be routine questions that need to be added to officers' training, he said, expecting that the county sheriff's organizations will be further discussing the subject between now and November. Now, I have to tell you this. You have a right to remain silent. "Do you have a gun in the car, and where is it?" Well, you know something? I'm not the type of person that wants to have my business in a police computer so they'll know whether or not I have a gun. That's my business, not theirs. We'll talk about that more after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, I'm going to carry on where I left off at the end of the last segment about this whole thing with cops knowing everything about you when it comes to guns. There's this problem with the policing community. They love to call themselves law enforcement. Now, we've covered the difference between peace officers, police, and law enforcement many times on this show. I'm not going to get into it again. The mentality behind law enforcement of there's laws on the books and we are here to enforce every single one of them. Unless, of course, one of our own breaks it or somebody higher up the food chain or somebody in our command staff says, no, that's a buddy of mine or a politician or something. We'll let them get away with it. Law enforcement wants to know everything about you when it comes to guns. You know, officer safety is the most important thing. Officer safety is our most important thing is at the end of the day, we go home to our family. Well, oftentimes at the end of the day, they end up going out drinking with their buddies. Whatever. Whatever they end up doing after their shift. Having been a former cop, I know this. If they go home to their families, oftentimes it's a broken home. Too many cops get wrapped up into the, I have the most incredible size of brass balls. I can do whatever I want. I've got brass balls. They're huge. I can hardly walk or sit down. They're 10 foot tall, 6 feet wide, and bulletproof, protected by this huge badge that, in fact, is about the size of a business card, or a little larger, that sits on their chest, upper left side, right over the heart. Well, when cops pull you over, or run your license plate, or run your address, they run your name, something like that, and you have a concealed weapons permit, it pops up on their computer. They know you have a gun before they get into any contact with you. If they're premeditating some form of stop or interaction with you. If there's some sort of premeditation, they run your plate, or they call in, hey, I'm going to do a vehicle stop on this plate, on this vehicle. Well, the dispatcher will pull it up and they'll, hey, by the way, this person has a gun or has a concealed weapons permit. Or if they're going to serve some sort of papers to you or a subpoena or something like that, they'll run you first. And they will act differently if you have a concealed weapons permit. In most cases, not all, in most cases, they'll send multiple cops to your location if they're going to serve you with some sort of a court paper that you otherwise would not want to have. Something along that line. I don't need the cops knowing that I'm armed. I don't need anybody knowing whether or not I'm armed. Now, of course, I sit here on the radio and I blab off my face, say I'm armed. I got something. And I don't mind letting people know that I'm armed. But I don't need it in somebody's computer system. I really don't. Here's my legal argument. Any state that has a concealed weapons permit, basically every state that does have one, of course, minus Illinois. We're not going to count them in this discussion. The other 49 states that have some form of concealed weapons permit. There's 4 or 5 states now that have constitutional carry. You don't need to come get a permit from us. You can get one if you want, but you don't have to. You can just carry concealed. Well, those are the right states. Those are the right states to be in. Alaska, Arizona, Vermont, Montana. These are the right states to be in. The states that say you have to apply through your police chief or county sheriff to get a permit. Here's my legal argument against that. The reason that the state law says to go to the police or the sheriff's department is because they are the policing, or as they like to call it, the law enforcement authority over where you live. They have jurisdiction over where you reside. So they're the cops, they have the guns, they're supposed to take care of the laws. And since they take care of the laws and they have guns, you have to go to them to ask. Well, at the same token, why don't they make it the county assessor's office? I mean, county assessor handles certain laws, mainly property laws. You own a gun, it's your property. Why doesn't it go to the county assessor's office? Well, because they want the cops, in a lot of cases, if it's not a shall issue state, if it's a, okay, you have to have some sort of a reason, an articulable reason that we're going to buy before we issue you a permit, such as in California and Hawaii and several other states. We will decide whether or not your reason is good enough to offer you a permit. Well, guess what? In all of the states, whether they have it shall issue or may issue, as they call it, the mother may I system, you have to go to the very entity which has no legal responsibility to have to provide any protection to you whatsoever. Yet you have to go to them to go through the shall issue process or the may issue, can I please, mother may I, carry a gun concealed? Will you accept my jacket tax and put an expiration on it? Well, that's my legal argument. If I were ever to have to go to court on this, look, right, Your Honor, right here. Here's a Supreme Court decision. It says that these guys have no legal authority to have to provide me police protection, yet I have to go to them to go through this process. And here's the rationale behind it. Here are the notes of the legislatures through the discussion during the passage of the law. This is why. It is flawed from its inception. Therefore, it is unconstitutional to have to force me to go to them based on the provisions of this law. I hope many of you understand where I'm coming from with this. Especially if it's one of these may issue states, like in California, Hawaii, there are a couple of them. A may issue state where you have to come up with what they believe to be a damn good reason to get a permit. That's what you have to do. Come up with a damn good reason to have to get a permit. And they actually have people that work in their concealed weapons departments. Of course, that's a part-time job in most of these areas. That will sit, that have all kinds of excuses to refute your reason for wanting to have a gun. Now, many times, I have thought, I would love to end up in Hawaii. I'd love to end up there. I've been to Hawaii many times. I spent a lot of time in Hawaii. I love it there. My two favorite places that I've ever been are Hawaii and Disneyland. That's just the, I am happiest in my life in Hawaii and at Disneyland, California, and Anaheim. That's where I'm happiest. Really, they say Disneyland, happiest place on earth. It truly is one of them. Hawaii is the only place I go where I don't look forward to coming home eventually. There's a very, very, very close second on that list. Those of you who have listened to the show for the last few years, I have an occasional co-host, Ed Winchester, and we generally broadcast from the beach house that he and his wife enjoy. Now, I spent time at that beach house several times, and it's a place I'd love to be. I just love to go there and hang out. The only reason I ever want to come home is because I feel as though I'm intruding on their lives. If I weren't actually intruding on their lives, that's another place I could be happy for some time. However, it is in California. The problem with Hawaii, if I were to ever end up there, is they don't issue their permits at all. Democrat-controlled legislature. Occasionally, they have a Republican governor. I never understand that. Massachusetts is the same way. Heavily Democrat throughout the state. But yet, occasionally, a Republican governor. I don't get that. I understand how that works. Anyhow, if I were in Hawaii and I went through the process to try to get a concealed weapons permit, and again, I don't believe in concealed weapons permits. I don't believe in the authority that they have to circumvent the Second Amendment to say you have to get a permit. But I'm the type of guy that if in Hawaii, I would actually go and try to get a permit. And if they told me no, I would sue the pants off of the state of Hawaii. I would take it all the way through court, preaching along the lines that I am now, about how their entire system is unconstitutional. I would go through and I would subpoena a list of all the people that have the permits and see that they are members of an elite club. Former judges and mayors and county managers and things such as that. All government officials. When you ask the government for permission for something, they take care of their own. They're no longer part of the populace. They're now part of the problem. So why do you have to go to the cops to ask permission to get a permit or go through the process of getting a permit? Why not go to the county recorder's office? Why not go to the library and talk to the county librarian staff? Why is it always the police or the sheriff? Why? It's funny, too, because you don't see like the Los Angeles Police Department, the City of Los Angeles Police Department. It's not the City of Los Angeles Law Enforcement Department. They call themselves law enforcement officers, but it's a police department. Do you see the oxymoron on that? The real problem with that? I'm a law enforcement officer. No, you're a police officer. You work for the police department. That's like saying you work for Parks and Recreation, but you're a fish and game guy. No, if you were a fish and game guy, you'd work for the fish and game department. You're a Parks and Recreation employee. You do Parks and Recreation. You work for a police department, you're a police agency. It's like Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, but they consider themselves law enforcement. No, you're police. It says so right in the name of the organization you work for. Anyhow, stay tuned. We'll be coming back after this long break with Hour 2 of 2A Radio. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. We'll be right back.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. We are now in the beginning of Hour 2, 2A Radio. Now, in Auburn, Washington, two police officers were injured in an accidental shooting at the police gun range this last Thursday, according to the department. Both officers were not from Auburn, but from nearby agencies, according to the Auburn Police Commander Mike Hittman, whatever his name is. One officer was struck in the thigh with a bullet. The other was hit by a rock or shrapnel in the abdomen, possibly from a bullet. The man with the leg wound was transported to Harborview Medical Center, where he was in stable condition. The other was treated for a superficial wound at the local hospital. Police were conducting training when the shooting happened. Auburn police continued to investigate the incident, which reportedly happened around 4:30 p.m. Now, let me tell you, from the little information in this short 3 or 4 or 5 sentence news report here. What happened? A cop is either coming out of the holster with his handgun or going back into the holster with his handgun, his fingers on the trigger, and he fires a round. The bullet goes down through the holster, enters into the upper thigh, and either stays there or most likely enters the lower part of the upper thigh above the knee. It's the way the vast majority of these go in. They go into the upper thigh about 6 inches below the hip, and they travel for about another 6 inches and then come out just above the knee to the side, giving yourself a little bit of a pinstripe there. I've seen this happen. If you go to YouTube, there's a video with a bunch of shooters that's going viral of a guy who actually displays the video himself. Look, here's the video. This is what happened. And then he narrates afterwards how he believes the whole thing went on. Here's the deal. You hear about the cops talking about, you know, these concealed weapons permits in Wisconsin. Oh, as long as there's proper training. You have to have proper training, proper training, proper training. The cops don't have proper training. You've got to be kidding me. Even if you're a SWAT cop, if you are a SWAT cop, and you're a full-time SWAT cop, it's not like, okay, we have SWAT call-out. Every once, okay, you're on the SWAT team when we need it. No, full-time SWAT. Those guys get the best training available to police departments. And those guys are the ones who generally, again, this is department by department, have the skills necessary that even the basic street cop should have. Remedial firearms training is what most of them have. Remedial. By the time you're done in a single day training with me, one single day training with me, you'll have more ability, a higher ability, to run your gun than probably 85 to 90% of the cops on the street who've had however much training they've had in a day. Now, this is not to beat up the cops. This is because those who run the departments and allocate the funds for training don't have any idea what true ability really is. And those who do the training, in most cases, don't have any idea how to actually train someone or how to be efficient with that training. Efficiency is the key. You don't need a tremendous amount of time to get people tuned up on how to run a gun properly. What you need is efficiency and understanding how the average human being learns best with a hand-eye coordination, which is all shooting really is. So, with this, these police getting injured on the training range in Auburn, Washington, undoubtedly, you've got somebody finger on the trigger going into the holster or coming out. It's generally more often that it's on the way up. People are trying to get to their trigger faster so they can shoot because they're under some sort of time constraint issued by whoever's running whatever exercise they're doing. So the finger goes on the trigger early. If you understand the four universal firearm safety rules, and people really understand, they don't just hear them. They can actually have a gun in their hand and understand them and practice them, unloaded gun, by the way. Then you actually get an understanding. You really get it. Now, I have a theoretical understanding of the internal combustion engine. That's it. I couldn't tear one apart and rebuild it or modify the one I've got because I don't have a hands-on application of it. I just don't get it. I mean, I have never learned. I understand theoretically how the whole thing works. But every little part, why is this here? Why does it do that? Why is it in this shape? Why is it in this? I don't understand all that. Therefore, I don't mess with internal combustion engines. However, you need to have that understanding or a similar understanding if you're going to have a gun. You need to understand the rules. Rule one, everybody do this with me. Rule one, treat all guns as if they're loaded. Now, a lot of times people say, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, all guns are always loaded. Well, now, the proper way of doing it is treat all guns as if they're loaded. Because if all guns are always loaded, how could you possibly empty the gun out and do dry practice? If all guns are always loaded, rule one, then you'd be violating any state law that subverts your rights and says you have to have an unloaded gun in the car. If you have a gun in the car and you say it's unloaded, the cop goes, oh, rule one, all guns are always loaded. I'm going to cite you because of rule one. Okay. Treat all guns as if they're loaded. Rule two, don't point the gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. Now, that is a massively abused rule. People are very nonchalant with guns. Muzzles pointing everywhere. Don't point at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, which is the one rule, if you violate it, somebody gets hurt, you or someone else, and you end up with a negligent, not accidental, negligent discharge. There is a difference. Rule three, keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Too many people let that finger just rest on the trigger as they wave it around. That's why I don't shoot with the general public anymore. And I will not. Rule four, be aware of your target and what's in line with it. Oftentimes people say, be aware of your target and what's behind it. You need to know what's in line with it, the entire path of the trajectory of the bullet. If you see, so, okay, that's my target, I'm going to shoot at it, but somebody walks between your muzzle and the target, well, if you're just worried about your target, what's behind it, you're still following the rule, shoot. No, be aware of your target, what's in line with it. Those are the four universal firearm safety rules. If those with guns, whether you have them recreationally, as a hobbyist, you carry concealed or professionally. You need to have a full and complete grasp and understanding and a deep-seated respect for these rules before you carry a gun. That'll pretty much eliminate having these problems. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, I have to tell you, I've absolutely had it. Fed up. Absolutely had it. With the smoke and mirrors, dog and pony shows. With politicians. There's stuff that we know. We just plain know. But because of Joseph Goebbels coming out from the Nazi party, you know, the propaganda guy, it said, no matter what lie you tell, no matter how big or bad it is, as long as you tell it enough times, people will begin to believe it, which is exactly the way that politicians operate. Exactly. Take, for instance, this whole debt crisis. Oh, if we don't raise the spending limit, or, you know, raise the borrowing limit, we're going to have a debt crisis. And Obama comes and says, I can't guarantee that your seniors, they're collecting Social Security, will get your Social Security check. Wrong. I can't guarantee that the military is going to get paid. Wrong. It's all a bunch of lies. It's all a bunch of propaganda. We know it's lies. Hey, how about this? How about this? There is absolute reason for everyone in America to suspect that Barack Obama is not qualified by the definition of the qualifications to even run for president to be president. We all know this. We all know it. And yet, nobody in Congress is doing anything about it. We know that his father was a British subject from Kenya when Obama was born. We know this. That alone removes him from eligibility being president. Can't be president, but yet nobody's doing anything about it. We know that there's a reason to suspect that his birth certificate is fake. Doesn't really matter where he's born. The birth certificate's a non-issue to me. Absolutely a non-issue. Because his father was a British subject. A Kenyan citizen under British rule when Obama was born. Can't be natural born that way. We know he uses a Social Security number from Connecticut. We know he's never resided in Connecticut. We know that one of his relatives worked in an office where you could get Social Security numbers and find out people who had Social Security numbers, if they ever collected Social Security benefits. I believe it was an aunt. And at 15, he started using his Social Security number from a dead guy in Connecticut who never received any Social Security checks. So the Social Security Administration was never notified the guy was dead. They didn't need to know. They never sent him any money. Guy paid into it his whole life. We know this. We know that there's fraud. But yet, everybody in government covers it up. They don't care. They're not going to do anything about it. They might sound like they want to, but they've been duped into all the lies. I have to tell you, I found myself believing that SEAL Team 6 went in and took out bin Laden in May, on May 1st. I found myself believing some of that credibility. And then I realize, hey, wait, I know that this guy's been dead for years. But yet it started to seem plausible. Yeah, SEAL Team 6 went and took him out. Mm-hmm. Was there 23 members of SEAL Team 6? We won't ever know their identities. Unless somebody leaves the team and says, by the way, I was part of SEAL Team 6. That's the only way we'll ever know. That's all. SEAL Team 6 doesn't operate with the other SEAL teams. They are the SEALs of the SEALs. Hand-selected from the other teams. And they go through additional training. Now, they know they're being used as patsies. Only they know the truth. And something tells me, eventually a book will come out. Somebody in Department of Defense will squawk, "Oh, that's national security. We can't have that out." It'll be banned. Or DOD will buy up every copy, as they've done already with a couple of books. My point is, absolutely nothing in the government stands up. None of it stands up to scrutiny. And now we have the ATF, which has been running an international gun smuggling operation to Mexico in Gunwalker and Fast and Furious. Our own government and the agency which is in charge of stopping that sort of thing is the one that was actually doing it, running a protection ring for illegal international arms trades. I would submit that Interpol need to investigate this and start arresting hundreds of people involved. That includes the agents of the ATF who knew it was wrong and said, "Hey, this is wrong." They were told, "Shut up, do your job," and they did it anyhow, knowing it was wrong. The difference between right and wrong is knowing if what you're doing is right or what you're doing is wrong. Otherwise, it's an ignorant act. They knew. Of course, the ones that knew in ATF what they were doing was wrong and didn't balk, did it anyhow. "Hey, I got under the protection of the badge. I'm being ordered to." All of them. Interpol should arrest all of them. Try them. If convicted, that's treason. Punishable by death in this country. Well, with all of this gun trafficking, of course, the anti-gunners, Representative Elijah Cummings, Carolyn McCarthy, and Carolyn Maloney, they've decided that they're going to introduce the new Stop Gun Trafficking and Strengthen Law Enforcement Act of 2011. Anti-gun measure. At the same time, we have Wayne LaPierre of the NRA, and we have the Second Amendment Foundation this last week speaking to the International Arms Trade Treaty group that's considering this. And letting them know, not in this country. Now, I want everybody to understand a couple of things. If a treaty is signed at the UN, the Senate of the United States must approve it. I don't see this being approved. Even so, a treaty cannot affect individuals. The most it can affect, it's designed to affect governments, which then the most it could affect are businesses. But it cannot, it will not, it would not affect American-made guns being available to American citizens. I want everybody to know that. When it comes to the importability of guns, that's entirely in the hands of ATF. They're in the process right now of banning semi-auto shotguns that don't have a sporting purpose, by their own definition of sporting purpose. Which is another thing which is laughable and should be suable. Second Amendment Foundation should be all over this. The NRA should be all over this. Gun Owners of America should be all over this. National Association for Gun Rights should be all over this. The Second Amendment is not about sporting purposes. And any provision dealing with sporting purposes in the National Firearms Act of the 1930s, the Gun Control Act of 1968, or the Firearm Owners Protection Act of 1986, anything that mentions anything about sporting purposes should be challenged on its constitutionality alone, therefore eliminating the sporting purpose provisions and ATF restrictions. That's the way I see it. Guys, stay tuned. I'll be back right after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back. Now, this whole UN arms treaty thing, anti-gun deal, one of their main provisions for this would be to state that anybody who signs on to the treaty, you need to have micro-stamping on the gun. Now, micro-stamping is a thing where every time a gun fires a casing, a little microscopic stamp embeds something like the gun's serial number onto that casing. That's what micro-stamping is. So what this treaty is going to do is try to get everybody to go to micro-stamping. Now, it's a misproven and completely defeatable sort of a technology. I absolutely flat guarantee you this. If micro-stamping ever comes about in my lifetime, any gun I ever get that has that technology on it, I will immediately defeat it. Period. And I don't care what laws are on the books. It's my gun. It's my property. I can do with my property as I damn well please, as long as it doesn't infringe on someone else's freedoms and liberties. Okay? If it doesn't infringe on someone else's freedoms and liberties, there ought not be a law or any enforcement on it. Period. Which is really kind of the main basis for the libertarian mindset. There's some other stuff that goes on with libertarians. A few things I don't agree with. But the main foundational principles of, look, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't infringe on someone else's freedoms or liberties. Okay? Which means you're not going to go out and fondle some kid or hold somebody up or rape somebody or murder someone else. Those sorts of things have crimes that have victims. Victimless crimes, off the books. Victimless crimes, off the books. I'll give you an idea of some victimless crimes. Speeding. Okay? Nobody's hurt. No problem. Prostitution. Victimless crime. Drugs. Victimless crime. Taking the micro stamping off of my gun. Victimless crime. Now, anytime you own anything and the government says, well, you've got to, you know, have these things or do blah, da, 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 that means it's not truly yours. For instance, with a gun, if they say it's a federal offense to remove, alter, or anything, the serial number on that gun, it's a federal offense to do it. Well, then it's not entirely your gun. Because your gun, you can do whatever you want with it. Same thing with the VIN number on a vehicle. I own the car. If I want to, there's five VIN numbers on the vehicle located in different places. One on the firewall, one on the dashboard, one on the door, one on the frame rail, one on the engine block. Those are the five places of the VIN numbers. Most people, if they change one, they're only going to change the one on the dash. Where most people, that's the default one people go to. If I want to eliminate or change or alter whatever the VIN number on my car, I own the car. I should be able to do it all I want, regardless of any stupid law that's on the books. All it is a control factor of the government. It doesn't serve their interest. It doesn't serve any purpose. It only serves their interest of control. So, when it comes to this micro-stamping garbage, this is one of the things that this UN arms treaty thing that they want to put in there has on it. The preamble under item 6 of this proposed anti-gun international treaty says it recognizes the sovereign right of states to determine any regulation of internal transfers of arms and national ownership exclusivity within their territory, including through national constitutional protections on private ownership. This language is in direct response to the serious reservations expressed
by the U.S. and some other delegations. And unfortunately, after this comes the scope of the proposed treaty. This includes, along with tanks, artillery systems, naval vessels and missile systems, small arms, and all ammunition for these small arms. Now, while acknowledging a constitutional right, the criteria and record-keeping requirements proposed in this garbage treaty would necessitate the special markings of all firearms, and more critically, all ammunition. The costs involved in both the physically marking and record-keeping are enormous. The proposed document also includes the creation of an implementation support unit with yearly reporting and records kept for a minimum of 10 years. Now, another egregious proposal is the victim assistance proposal. This provision is one that's been presented repeatedly at the Program of Action and Conference Parties meetings. Now, many African, South American, Central American, and Caribbean countries have proposed that manufacturers of guns contribute to a fund based on their sales. Alternately, they would be assessed fees on countries based on the value of its arms exports. You get this? However successful you are, we're going to tax it. Now, as this whole arms treaty moves closer and closer to its final form, it's pretty important, it's imperative, in fact, that we're going to realize that the technical requirements and definitions, still to be determined, are unbelievably dangerous. Much of the debate on these different provisions are going to take place inside events that are often closed to anybody other than direct participants. Now, the U.S. already has the most stringent import and export requirements of firearms in the whole world. While this proposed treaty is, it's supposed to be more about conventional weapons, the focus in the discussion is on small arms, the very firearms that the U.S. Constitution guarantees you and I the right to bear. And if they're going to tell us that these firearms that we have the right to bear have to have some sort of micro stamping, I'm sorry, UN, but you can go pound sand. I'm even sorry, U.S. federal government. You were created by the Constitution. The Constitution was created by men of free will. We the people. Therefore, go through your chain of command. I'm at the top of it. You're at the top of it. If you're a government employee, you are far down. You're the PFC. We're the commanders in chief. This is where there's far more chiefs than Indians, but yet we're allowing the Indians, to coin the phrase, to rule this thing. Now, I will not be dictated to. I will not be legislated from cradle to grave. As much as I enjoy visiting different portions of the state of California, I don't see myself ever being a resident there. Because they legislate you from cradle to grave. And I don't have enough money to fight all of their unconstitutional laws on the condition of their unconstitutionality. If I did, I'd be happy to go there and rip a hole right through California and all their laws. But I don't. I'm not going to. That's not my fight. It's for the people in California to fight. For the people in Illinois to fight. It's for the people in Hawaii to fight. It's for the people in Massachusetts to fight. For me, I may end up sometime in New Hampshire, the live free or die state. It's funny, the NASCAR race this weekend today is in New Hampshire, and they're calling it the Granite State when it's actually the live free or die state, but they won't say it on TV. Goofballs. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
Hi guys, welcome back. Now, as we go through this last segment of the last regularly scheduled 2A radio, I want you to be aware of the people who are anti-gun, simply by their terminology. First of all, high-capacity magazines, which is common terminology in the gun world today. You can go into CDNN and go to buy magazines, and they'll actually list high-capacity magazines. Brownells, well, it's high-capacity magazines. And they're wrong. They've adopted the terminology of the anti-gunners into everyday terminology. Standard-capacity magazines are what the gun was designed to run off of. 10-round magazines? Those are no longer standard capacity. Those are legislatively mandated reduced-capacity magazines. If it's got more than 10 rounds, they'll call it a high-capacity magazine, which is wrong. It's a standard-capacity magazine. Here's some other terminology. Assault rifle. Some people in the industry use assault rifle. It drives me nuts. Front Sight, out here in southern Nevada, has the assault weapons storage. If you live in California, another state where you cannot keep an assault rifle, you can store your assault weapon in the assault weapon store. I have no idea. The owner of Front Sight is a Californian. So he's got some of the commie mentality left in his head and uses assault weapons in there. Sport utility rifle, battle rifle, something like that. How about counter assault rifle? So the term assault rifle, what does that mean by to an anti-gunner? Any long arm that looks scary, therefore, should be banned. Generally has a detachable magazine, and oftentimes it's all black. When they talk about common sense gun laws, common sense, that would be any law or regulation that infringes on the Second Amendment. Should be common sense. What about cop killer bullets? You know what a cop killer bullet is? It's any bullet. It could be any bullet. When they use the term extreme or extremist, that's anybody that's to the right of their beliefs. Anybody that's to the right of, say, Adolf Hitler or Fidel Castro are extreme. Okay, gun. Right? That's an inanimate object that nonetheless somehow in their mind has free will and moral agency. Therefore, it should be regulated and probably banned. A gun show. They talk about gun shows and gun show loopholes. They believe gun shows should be small, sovereign, movable areas that appear and disappear, wherein the laws of the United States and the constitutional protections of the people participating do not apply. High-powered. Well, a high-powered cartridge is anything that can be fired by an assault rifle. How about a sniper rifle? What's a sniper rifle to these guys? That's any rifle that's otherwise not an assault rifle. Therefore, sport should be banned. How about an assault clip? That is the latest term used by the Brady Bunch. An assault clip is any device used to feed ammunition to a firearm with a capacity of greater than 10 rounds. Therefore, should be banned. How about gun nuts or gun loons? Well, that's any individual who's not of the opinion that all guns should be registered, tracked, micro-stamped, collected, destroyed, etc. And, of course, anyone who fits into the criteria of gun nut or gun loon should, of course, be forced to undergo mental examination. And, therefore, since they have a mental background, they should no longer be allowed to own guns. What about gun grabber? Well, in the eyes of an anti-gunner, that's someone of the highest moral standing and intellect. Anyone who's graced with this title is of great enough intelligence that they should feel free to insult those who do not agree with them, as the people that don't agree with them are obviously idiots, or gun nuts, or gun loons. These are the sorts of things that these anti-gunners will do on a regular basis. Talk to you, say how we don't need guns. Guns are violent. Guns kill people. They'll even go so far as to take what we say. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And what they'll do is they will change it. Well, but you couldn't kill him if he didn't have a gun. Well, that's not true. I can think of all kinds of ways to kill people that don't involve guns. As a matter of fact, if you look at the homicide rates in countries where the citizens are not allowed to freely own and carry guns, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Because they are killed with, well, guns. Because when you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. They're killed with bats, knives, being run over by cars, being burned to death, hung, beaten, mutilated. You don't need a gun. It's in the psyche of human beings. If they're going to cause harm to someone else, you don't need a gun to do it. It's simply a tool. Now, I choose to carry a gun as a tool to defend myself because it's a very efficient tool for that. And I have thousands of hours of training with a gun. I'm very effective with it. It's a very efficient tool in my hand. If someone were an IT professional, internet technologies, and they spent thousands of hours doing their job, they would be immensely qualified to work on computers and do your IT's work. That's the way I am with guns. It's a very efficient way of defending myself. Of course, anti-gunners will look at it as they lump everybody who has a gun into the same pool. Criminals. The only people who are different is a government agent that has a gun. They're on one side, and all civilians with guns are on the other side, whether you're a criminal or not. That's where anti-gunners will lump people together. Well, if you have a gun, you have the ability to be a criminal. Well, pardon me, Carolyn McCarthy. If you are equipped as a female with indoor plumbing as opposed to a male with outdoor plumbing, well, I'm sorry, but you're equipped to be a prostitute. Doesn't mean that you are. Because I have a gun, I am equipped to potentially be a criminal. Doesn't mean that I am. And I would imagine the same percentages are probably apply. There are women out there, the percentage of which who are prostitutes would probably be the same percentage of those who own guns that own guns who are criminals. The women that elect, oh, I have the right natural equipment to be a prostitute, I'm going to go and do that, would be the same percentage of those who own guns. Say, well, I own a gun, yeah, I'm going to go be a criminal. Now, generally speaking, it's going to be more along the lines, okay, I'm a criminal, I'm going to go and try and find a gun. Not, I have a gun, therefore it makes me a criminal. It's, I'm a criminal, I need a more efficient tool, I'm going to try to find a gun. They don't go to gun stores and buy them. They don't go to gun shows and buy them. They get them off the street. How do they get them from the street? From theft. People break into cars, break into homes, and they steal them. And for those anti-gunners that would think, they would have the audacity to say, look, if someone's carrying a gun, and a criminal, a bad guy, sees that a good guy is carrying a gun, they're going to make the good guy their victim because they want the good guy's gun. The people that have the audacity to say anything like that have never in their life considered, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the bad guy. Am I actually going to go after a good guy with a gun? No, that's the last guy I'm going to try to make my victim. Guys, thanks very much. We're showing this thing up. We're bringing this ship to shore. Go to Facebook. Type in 2A Radio. Go to the Bill Carnes 2A Radio fan page. Like it. And from there, you'll see the updates when I put up new shows at 2aradio.com. Thank you. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.